This week on The Bottom Line, a Jeep thinks it's a fire truck, we smoke a tenderloin, and sharks join the show. And this is The Bottom Line. Gonna wake the sharks up a little, but that's it.
Good job.
Hey everybody, I'm Doug.
And I'm not getting anywhere near this
and
water.
That's shark bait Christy.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey everybody, I'm Doug.
And I'm not getting any closer to this water.
And that's shark attack Christy. She's so nervous, she's shaking. She will not leave that one step.
No,
she doesn't like sharks.
Oh my gosh,
anyway, no. We are in beautiful Compass Key Marina in the Exumas.
Hey, bottom line, welcome to Compass Key, welcome home guys. Georgia, Christy, and Doug. Thank y'all for coming.
This place has been a staple for yachts for I don't even know how many years. It's blowing outside, but all the big boats are in here taking shelter from the wind. Crystal clear waters, and of course, the sharks.
So, that's my favorite part, of course.
Yeah, that's her favorite part.
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them.
Okay, so Christy, what do we got?
Well, we have our sponsors, of course, Marine Data Solutions and Salty Rex Crew Apparel.
Marine Data Solutions, I'm surrounded by sharks, so I definitely have 99 problems.
And the internet's not one of them!
And?
Salty Rags Crew Apparel.
Salty Rags Crew Apparel. What do they do for us?
They keep us looking fly before we die.
Yes. You fall in that water, at least you're dressed. Oh!
Yeah, at least
okay, don't forget, with Salty Rags, we were informed that they don't do extortion, they don't do kidnapping, and they don't do the...
executions.
They do that.
That's what they do.
Okay, next.
Yacht Industry News.
Working. What do we got for Yacht Industry News?
Well, unfortunately, there was a fire in the Ferretti factory.
A fire in the Ferretti factory. Was that on a Friday?
For 40 minutes.
I think Ferrico responded to the fire in the Ferretti factory on Friday. Okay. We generally don't cover fires, but, you know, it was a factory fire. It wasn't a crew-related problem. These things happen. I'm pretty sure only one boat got really, really damaged. Take a look at the video. And, you know, the coolest thing about this is, if you look at the video, there is a Jeep Renegade fire truck in Italy.
I'm very proud of that.
Before we go to yachting history, we have another treat for you. We've got Adrian from Below Deck on our boat, and she's going to show you how to cook something real quick and easy.
Let's check out what she has. Let's go ahead, Adrian.
Welcome to Motor Yacht Renaissance. I'm going to be showing you how to make a salt-crested filet tenderloin tonight. I have started with two really nice grade A filet tenderloins, and I'm going to show you how to salt-crest it. First step, trim and tie the fillet. So I've got these all trimmed up right now, and I'm gonna go ahead and use my cooking twine to tie them up. I'm just gonna go start at the top, put a knot in the top, and then I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it underneath. And then instead of continuing to tie more knots, which is one way to do this, I just pull it through. The reason why we're going to use the kosher salt is because through the process of osmosis, the salt actually enhances the flavor of the beef. I'm gonna go ahead and rinse the tenderloin now. Just getting the excess salt off of it now that it sat at room temperature for a while with the salt so it can do its thing. Right after I rinse them of all the salt, I'm gonna go ahead and put them on a clean piece of foil and put them in a 500 degree oven. It definitely helps to have a thermometer handy so that you can keep track of everything. But I stop it at about 140, 143. I pull it out and then let it rest. Our oven has reached 500 degrees, so I'm gonna go ahead and put the tenderloin in, start the clock for 25 minutes, and definitely make sure I check the temperature of it at least once or twice while I'm doing this, usually closer to the end. I've just checked the temperature on the tenderloin, so I'm gonna go ahead and take it now. It's at about 143 degrees. And then I'm just gonna go ahead and tent it with foil to let it rest. Slicing out their tenderloin now. So I've got two different tenderloins that were slightly different thicknesses, and then that way you get more medium rare to rare on one side, and then the second tenderloin's a little bit more medium. Just putting a little demi-glaze on there.
Oh yeah.
All done, I hope they enjoy. Thanks for joining me. You can find me on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Adrian Gang. And please check out my podcast, Gangplank Report, where we talk a little bit about Below Deck and a lot about yachting.
That's pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. Did you know she was a chef? She was a stew on Below Deck, but she was actually, she's always been a chef. So she's
spoiling
with us.
Rotten.
By the way, we're on charter in the Exumas. It's winter time. One thing nobody ever realizes is when people come here and it's blowing cold and it's freezing, it's like it's still North Atlantic in the winter at Christmas.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but if you're from Chicago, if you're from Chicago, you're good. Mm-hmm. Look at all the sharks. Okay, so what do we got next?
Thanks for that's great. I'm trying to not look at that.
Oh, look at the sharks.
I know they're all fighting.
Oh, that's upside. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead next.
Yachting history, of course.
What do we got in the yachting history?
42 years ago, the 86-meter Nebula was delivered.
Okay, 86-meter Nebula. This was a pretty famous boat, okay? It was built in the Benetti Yard, which actually bankrupted them. Okay, then the guy who bought it, a Saudi sheik, went bankrupt. Then he sold it to Donald Trump. Donald Trump actually was like, I love the biggest and greatest. He actually contracted a boat called, his boat was Trump Princess, Trump Princess 2, but it never got on, it never got going because he ran into financial troubles, so he sold the boat. But in the meantime, he actually bought the Amel's shipyard because they went into bankruptcy.
I sense a pattern.
Bankruptcy. So then Donald Trump actually sold the Amel's shipyard like 3 months later, canceled the project, sold his yacht. He was out. So then another Saudi prince bought it and named it what? Kingdom?
5KR.
5KR after his company and his kids. The boat has a history of people in bankruptcy.
Not very good history.
It definitely does. But it also has another history. It was in the James Bond movie, Never Say Never Again. It was called Flying Saucer, which was Italian for Disco Volante, which was the boat in another James Bond movie from the same novel. Okay? Okay. And it's also famous for being named after a song that Queen did.
It's in the inspiration for
1990 part. On their what album?
1989, their album The Miracle.
The Miracle, which is, so this boat is pretty famous. I'm going to give you another little tidbit about this boat. Donald Trump paid less than the next guy offering. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because the Saudi prince made a deal. He paid him $1 million not to keep the name of the boat because it was named after his daughter. All right? Anybody who knows Trump knows.
Trump.
He puts Trump everything. On anything. That was a stupid, that was money stupidly spent.
That was. He would have done it anyways.
Okay, what do we got next?
Oh, well, we have Crew Corner.
Crew Corner, what do we got?
Well, we have our sponsor, Crew Haven, of course.
Crew Haven, what do they do? What do they do for us?
Well, they provide places that you can get rest like the guest.
Rested like the guest did. Listen, if you're going in, if you're going to LMC, if you're going anywhere in Florida area, why are you guys going to rent like this little crew room for $100
Yeah.
You can get the whole house.
You can.
They get bouncy houses. They put up balloons.
24/7
service.
24/7 service. Laundry,
they have clowns
TVs,
if you want them.
They do.
They'll even do anything. So check out Crew Haven. They're the pretty
best,
cool.
The best place to call home when you're not at home.
Yep. Get rested like the guest did.
Get rested like the guest.
So what's Crew Corner this week?
Well, Crew Corner, we're talking about how not to interact with their guests on charter.
Okay, so when charter guests are paying $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a week, you've got to maintain a certain amount of protocol. And I'm going to tell you right now, European crew are really good at this, and American crews suck. All right, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I've been doing this an awful long time. I get a lot of feedback from clients and owners, and I'm telling you, this is how it is. Now, I'll be the first one to say, I'll be the first one to say that European crew have this down pat a little bit more than U.S. crew. All right. But when a charter guest says, hey, how's your day going?
It's going well. How? What can I get to you to drink?
That's the answer.
That's it.
Okay.
Don't go in your back rooms.
Don't make the mistake of saying, you know, my girlfriend just left me. I can't believe that I'm here. Life sucks. By the way, you live in California. Can I come visit? Can I get your phone number?
Definitely not appropriate.
It's inappropriate. You crossed
the line.
You know what? Act like you are walking into the Ritz-Carlton.
Five-star service.
Five-star service, and the person behind the counter would never be like, hey, do you want to go hang out later?
Yeah, man, let's talk about it.
This is not the way it is. When people are asking you how your day's going, it's just a formality. Mm-hmm. It's just being polite. They really don't want to know, you know, definitely.
Your life story.
Girlfriend got pregnant. Yeah. She's really putting me to the screws. Captain's drinking. Yeah. The whole idea here is I tell all my crew, put yourself in a high five-star hotel and act the way they do. It's also inappropriate to communicate with the guests
on a social level. And when I say that, I mean like when they're leaving, everybody's so happy. I had the greatest time. If you're ever in California, come see me. That's not real, okay? Let me ask you a question. Oh, I've got their phone. I cringe when I hear crew go, oh, yeah, I got their phone number. If I'm not, and then I hear crew go, oh, I'm going to go out to California and see those people. I'm like, what are you going to do? Okay? They're multimillionaires, all right? They were, you had the boat as this thing. You're going to show up in their house and you're going to go, so
what? Now what?
Now what? What are we going to do?
Now
do you
what?
Have this, do you go around in the same circles? So just keep the professionalism up. Kind of keep, a big rule, keep your personal life out of it. All right, and I'll tell you one more thing. When you start to bring that down, when they're partying hard and you start to let your guard down and all, things go a little funky sometimes. All right, then they start talking to you like
casual
and all this, and then you start talking casual, and I'm going to tell you, it affects your tip. It really does. If you stay professional from the beginning to the end, you are securing your tip. At the end, they're like, oh, he's my bud, man. I don't have to tip him. Here, I'm going to give him a couple of bottles of champagne.
So you don't tip your friends.
Always. And you should do this in any industry. Keep the level super, super high. Super, super high.
Keep it high.
Okay. Anyway, from Compass Key, I'm Doug.
And I'm Christy.
And she's scared.
I'm getting the heck off this dog.
And this is Bottom Line. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Can't get up. My legs are jello.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, prop my bro.
Hi.
How are you?